Well, it's a delight to have here on BPN Radio on this Monday a man who has been really a lifelong friend. I have known Dr. Larry Martin practically all of my life, even though I'm a little bit older than he is. We grew up together in the small town of Comanche, Oklahoma, and he preached his very first sermon when I was a pastor of a small church in Holiday, Texas. And Dr. Larry Martin has been in ministry for more than 45 years. He spent about 25 years pastoring churches in Oklahoma, Texas, Florida, and Tennessee. He started out in evangelism when he was just a teenager. And believing as Wesley that the world is his parish, Dr. Larry Martin has traveled in more than 50 countries. He has taught in Bible schools, preached in mission churches, both large and small, led mass evangelism crusades, where as many as 40,000 people have professed Christ in one meeting or one event. Martin has attended 11 different institutes of higher learning, including he's a graduate of Cameron University, Oklahoma Missionary Baptist College, Southwestern College, State University, the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, and he has earned a Doctor of Ministry degree at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Austin, Texas, of course, where I live. 1994, Martin was chosen as the president of Messenger College in Joplin, Missouri. He also served as the college as the dean of the school. He served the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry in Pensacola, Florida, as academic dean from 2001 to 2004, participating in that great revival that was known around the world. He taught a number of courses in the college, was a regular speaker at the Brownsville Assembly of God Church, where it all happened. He's a freelance writer. His articles have appeared in Charisma, Remnant Ministries Today, Pulpit Helps, Missionary Voice, International Pentecostal Holiness Advocate, The Pentecostal Messenger, The Pentecostal Minister, The Message of the Open Bible, and others, and including the Brownsville Report. He's considered by many to be an authority on the Pentecostal revival at Azusa Street, and I've read his books there. Had an opportunity to write a foreword for one of those books. He's the author of The Life and Ministry of William J. Seymour, editor of the complete Azusa Street Library. He's written or edited In the Beginning, a History of Early Pentecostals and the Pentecostal Church of God for the Soul of a Nation, the Topeka Outpouring of 1901. He's edited and contributed to several other works. Larry Martin, it's so good to have you as my friend. Two young preacher boys that came out of Comanche, Oklahoma. I grew up in the same church, and I'm so delighted to have you on today.
Well, thank you, Brother Dale. It's a pleasure of mine to be with you and to talk to another Comanche boy for sure.
Well, it's great to have you on, and we're going to talk about revival. We're going to talk about Azusa Street. There's no one that I know of that has compiled more history concerning the outpouring of the Holy Ghost the beginning of the last century than you, Larry Martin. And we're going to talk about that. You have a new website called Pentecostal Go that I think is very interesting. But first of all, I want to send my condolences to you on the loss of your wife, TJ, who went to be with the Lord just a few weeks ago. I know that's had to be a very difficult time. And we prayed for her healing, and she was healed, but she got healed in heaven. But, the death of a companion, of a wife, must be very, very difficult. But I know that you had an experience not too long ago that you might want to talk about. And, of course, we do want to pray for people that may have lost their companion. I know I have another pastor friend in Kansas whose wife recently went to be with the Lord. So you might just want to talk a little bit about that.
Yes, Dale, I appreciate the opportunity. First, let me say how much I appreciate you standing with us while TJ was ill and praying for us. And I know that you prayed for us regularly. And I don't understand the ways of God. You know, I believe that TJ wanted to be healed. She had faith to be healed, and thousands of people around the world prayed for her. But God took her home, and we trust him. We don't understand. I don't guess we have to understand. We just trust the Lord, and we know. And not only did you pray for us, but you were very faithful to stand with us with financial support. And I appreciate that so very much. I couldn't get out and travel because of her illness. And through friends like you, God sustained us, and we thank you, and we give glory to God. But a few weeks ago, I went out to preach for the first time since TJ had passed, and it's a very difficult thing. I have more sympathy now for others who have lost a spouse. I'd lost my parents and lost friends and others, and thought I knew a great deal about grief. But this thing kind of hits you like a semi truck, and I was really feeling tough, and every time I'd be away from home, the first thing I'd do in the morning is call my wife, and we'd talk on the way to church, and as soon as church was over, I'd call her, and we'd talk, sitting in the car waiting on the pastor, usually to go to lunch, we'd visit, and
yeah.
So I'm away from town, away from home, and I went out to a little town called Yoakum, Texas. I'd never been to Yoakum before. I'd met the pastor briefly, but he didn't know me, and I didn't know him. I didn't even know until I got to the church. It was a Spanish Assembly of God church. I didn't know it was part of the Spanish district. I thought it was a South Texas district church. I got there, and I was the only one there that didn't speak Spanish. the service was bilingual, and they sung Spanish songs, and they translated my message. But as I said, I was feeling kind of blue. Well, I have to give a little background to this story. When I moved to Pensacola and went to work at Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, the school had been through just a devastating split, and the president of the college and the pastor had some differences, and the president of the college split the school and started a new school here in town, and it really hurt the students. You know, the older, mature students were okay with it, but the young students were so hurt that had great confidence in these people. It's kind of like a divorce had happened, and I came in on top of that, and it was a very difficult time, and the first week was really, really bad. It was just everybody was dancing around the subject and afraid to mention anything about the split, and we had service every day, but it was cold and dry and lots of grief going on in the school. Well, on the last day, they asked me to speak, and I got up and said a few things. I don't know what I said. But in the midst of that, I just started singing an old song we used to sing as kids there at the Assembly of God in Comanche, and started singing It's Bubbling.
Yeah.
And it just had to be a God moment, Dale, because it broke the grief off of that group, and they started singing and laughing. And well, from that day on, they called me Dr. Bubbles, and when we'd have a graduation, they'd blow bubbles at me, and I always came in to teach, and there'd be a bottle of bubbles sitting on the pulpit, and we'd go on a missions trip, and they'd call it the bubble tour. So everything was bubbling. I still get messages from Brownsville students all the time that say, keep bubbling, or something to that effect.
And
so here I am in Yoakum, Texas at a Spanish church, Assembly of God church. Didn't know anybody. They didn't know me, didn't know any of my history, but I'm really struggling. And after lunch, the pastor asked me to go over to his house, and I said, no, I think I'll just go to the church. And I went to the church, and I was praying and crying a little bit, and said, you know, God, you're going to have to help me. I need to hear from you. I really need a word from you just to know that everything's going to be all right. We went into the service that night, and they're up there singing Spanish songs. They're singing Alaba Ray and some of the songs I know and a lot of songs I didn't know. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, out of nowhere, that Spanish worship team started singing, It's Bubbling, It's Bubbling, It's Bubbling in My Soul. And it was like God came down and kissed me that day and said, wow. Larry, I'm still with you, and I've got a future for you, and I still love you. It was an amazing moment. And so I want anybody out there to know that if you're going through a tough time, and I know a lot of you are, because times do get tough, and even in a Christian's life, I want you to know that God's still with you, and he loves you, hadn't forgot about you, and it's bubbling in your soul today. Amen.
That's great. Well, why don't you, before we talk about Azusa Street Revival and other things. Why don't you just say a prayer for people that at this Christmas time, a lot of people, you know, are celebrating Christmas, but there's other people that are just having grievous times because somebody is missing from the table, somebody's missing from around the tree or in their lives. So just going through this, you might just want to say a special prayer, and then we'll continue on.
I'd love to do that. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to pray. I thank you, Lord, for this prayer network that's reaching around the world and touching so many lives. Lord, I pray right now for people that are going through a dark time. I pray for people that are in grief. Lord, all across this nation and around the world, there are people that have lost loved ones, a spouse or a child or a mother, a father, a sibling. And Lord, I pray that you would be with them. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them peace to know that even though their loved ones are not with us during this season, that they're near to us because, Lord, they're with you. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd comfort the grieving right now. Lord, you said you were a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and I believe that, God. You've proven that to me time and again. So come alongside those that are hurting. Lord, I pray you'd wipe tears from their eyes. I know the final day is coming that you'll wipe all tears from our eyes, but I pray, Lord, during this season that you give hope. I pray, Lord, that you give peace, and I pray that you give grief to those that are grace to those that are suffering grief. In Jesus' name, amen.
I set myself in agreement with you, Larry, and we just speak peace and tranquility over those people that are grieving during this time. This is BPN Radio. And Dale Gentry here with my lifelong friend, Dr. Larry Martin, who lives in Pensacola, Florida. And both of us came out of the same Assembly of God Church in Comanche. And we're here to say, Larry, that Dale Gentry and Larry Martin came out of a little town of less than 2,000 people, only one red light. And I just have said many times, from that one red light in Comanche, Oklahoma, you know, I went around the world. You have two. Me, Gene and I, 30-something nations. You, 50 nations. And so I know that we can do big stuff and coming out of small places. And, I mean, you have really applied yourself, getting your doctorate degree, being serving as a president of a college, writing books. And you could have just gone out of Comanche and maybe given your life to just pastoring one small church, but you really have gone for it. And what motivated you to get your degrees and be a writer as well as a preacher, also a missionary? What was it that elevated you? I know God elevated you, promoted you, but what was it that sparked you to do what you've done in life?
Oh, Brother Dale, I wished I could say that one day when I was 10 years old, I had a vision that I was going to do all of these things. That would be great, but nothing like that ever really happened. You know, I've served the Lord all of my life. People ask me when I got saved, and it's embarrassing sometimes not to know. I have a certificate when I was in vacation Bible school when I was 10 months old. I think that's when I accepted the Lord when I was 10 months old. I was a real mess before I found him. I cried all the time, couldn't stand on my own two feet. But I found Jesus at the Assembly of God VBS when I was 10 months old. Just my steps have been ordered by the Lord, Dale. That's the only thing I can say.
That's great.
I just step by step and day by day, God's given me vision to do different things. I was pastoring a church, and I felt like it, I should continue my education, so I went back to school and worked hard to get an education. And then, of course, with that, God opened doors for us to work in educational ministry. And mainly, I think, since God called me to preach, and we went over there with you in Holiday, Texas, I've had a vision to be around the world. I was praying this morning for divine appointments and divine connections, something I learned from Dale Gentry, how to pray, and for open doors of opportunity, asking God to take me places I've never been.
Yeah.
And continue to pray for that, and God's just been mighty good to us.
And what sparked your interest in Azusa Street? Because I know that you've written several articles, and you've done incredible research on the revival in Azusa Street. And, you know, even our theme song, where my spiritual grandson Leland, he talks about Azusa Street in the theme song. So what sparked your interest there?
Well, I've always had a love for history. If God hadn't called me to preach, I'd have probably been a history teacher or something of that nature. But I have a passion for revival. Gave my heart to God in revival, really committed myself in revival, I should say, and when I was just a teenage boy, and have always loved revival in the presence of God. So it's just a natural mix. If you love history and love revival, you want to study that. And so I spent a good deal of my life studying and researching historical revivals, especially the early Pentecostal revivals.
So how did you begin to do all the research on Azusa? How did that start?
I started out, Dale, I was going to write two books. I was going to write one book on the Charles Parham and the revival in Topeka, Kansas that started the Pentecostal movement, and I did that. And I was going to write a book on Azusa Street. But I started uncovering so much material, and I literally have been in libraries and basements and courthouses all over this country from one end to the other. And I found so much material that I decided to put together a series of books on Azusa Street. And I wrote one book that's kind of the key to the series on the life of William Seymour. And then the other books, there are 11 other books in the series. They are mostly historical documents. There's a book about the skeptics and scoffers and a book about the wild and weird that comes from newspaper articles out of Los Angeles. So it just grew and grew and grew as I obtained more material, found material that no one had ever seen before about William Seymour. And so the interest was always there, but the accumulation of material has taken place over decades.
Well, I know that people would be blessed to get your books on Azusa Street. So here we are now in 2014, approaching 2015, needing revival in America. And you have been a revivalist since you were a teenager, and you were involved in the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola. And here we are needing a revival. What needs to happen? Just talk to us about what needs to happen to see. I believe in God for 1,000 cities in America to experience revival. Where are we at, and how's that going to happen?
Well, I always go back to what I feel like is the scriptural key to revival. And I know you and most of those that are praying with you today know 2 Chronicles 7:14. And there is no better key. I have people occasionally email me, and they want to know how to have revival. And I point them back to this. The Lord said, if his people, not the drug addicts, not the prostitutes, not the gay community, but if his people, if the church, would humble themselves and pray, seek the face of God, turn from their wicked ways, that he would hear from heaven and heal their land. And that's what we're praying for, Dale. When we pray for revival, we're praying for God to heal America. And the only way that's going to happen is for the church to humble themselves and pray and seek the face of God. I want to say thank you for decades, for a lifetime of calling people to prayer. I know my life has been changed because of your commitment to prayer. And I don't consider myself a prayer warrior like you are. But you've been an inspiration to me, and I thank you for praying for revival in America.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. I appreciate that. And I know that is your passion, your desire also to see revival. And you know, when I was doing long-term revival meetings in the 90s, I spent much of my day reading about what God had done in the past, because I believe that whatever God has done in the past, he will do again in the future, but there will be a multiplication of that. And so I would read books that you had written and others on Azusa Street, the revivals of like with Charles Parham and others. And so I know that you've experienced revival. I just want you to pray. And we're going to, I know there's people, we have 950 churches that are now represented in the Breakout Prayer Network, over 600 cities. And we're just going to join you as you pray for revival in this nation, in cities in this nation. And so I just know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And Larry Martin, you've been down the road, and I just want you to pray today. You're on BPN Radio, and we're going to join ourselves in agreement with you.
We'd love to do that, Dale. And just want to say, following up what you said about reading and studying about revival, I believe revival's contagious. And if you want to catch a revival, you need to expose yourself to it. And you do that through attending revival services and reading and through praying like we're going to do right now. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you for your Son Jesus who died for us. Lord, we look at our nation today and we see a nation in turmoil. We see a nation divided. We see a nation turning from its spiritual roots, a nation turning away from God. God, we need revival. God, the cry of my heart, Lord, the passion of my heart today is, Lord, that you'd send a revival to this nation. I pray, Lord, for those thousand cities that Dell envisions breaking forth in revival. And I pray, God, that you would send your spirit to light fires across this nation, God. I pray that, Lord, you'd come like a mighty wind and spread the flame of Pentecost and the flame of revival across America. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We repent, oh God. We repent for the crimes of our government, the sins of our government. We repent for the sins of our schools, Lord. We repent, Lord, for the sins of our popular culture, and we ask you, God, forgive us, oh God. Forgive us our sins. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. And, Lord, we pray for revival, dear God. We ask you, Lord, to put a stirring in every pastor's heart. We pray that every pastor today, Lord, that as they prepare their messages or finish their messages for tomorrow, that you'd put within their heart a passion to call their church to you, to call their church to prayer, and to call their church to revival. God, we ask you to send your spirit mightily upon us. And, Lord, whatever you do for us, Lord, in every way that you move, Lord, we're going to be quick to give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory, for we recognize that you're the source of all good things. Send us revival, Lord. We agree with those that are praying. Send us revival in Jesus' name.
Thank you very much, Larry. Dr. Larry Martin has been with us here today on BPN Radio. And tell the people how that they can obtain your materials, how they can get in touch with you and receive your resources and correspond with you.
Thank you, Dale. Our ministry website is drlarrymartin.org. That's just drlarrymartin.org. We also have a site for those that are interested in revival history, azusastreet.org. And azusastreet.org. And our newest site I want to tell everybody about is called Pentecostal Gold. And it's an audio archive of great Pentecostal preaching. All of the preachers on the website are at least 70 years of age, or else they've gone to heaven to be with Jesus. And I'm happy to say we've got a lot of sermons by Del Gentry on Pentecostal Gold. There's almost 500 sermons on there by almost 900 preachers, and anybody can link in there anytime, free of charge, and listen to great Pentecostal preaching.
Oh, that's great. I'm honored to be on Pentecostal Gold. And this past year, I became eligible. I'm glad I'm still alive and can be able to be a part of that. And I'm really excited about that website because people can go on there and hear sermons that have been preached years ago. In fact, some of my sermons that I preached many years ago are on there. And Pentecostal Gold. Give that website one more time.
It's www.pentecostalgold.com. Okay. You know, Brother Dale, I remember one time I went to hear you preach in Valma, Oklahoma. I was probably still just a teenager, and you preached, I believe the sermon was either Roadblocks or something like that on the road to hell. It was a great sermon. Wished I had a tape of that one.
Wow. Wow, that was a long time ago, Larry. We made the journey together, and I'm looking forward to us ministering together at some point in time. That would be awesome. Two boys from Comanche, Oklahoma, and people can go anywhere, even from small places. Thank you for being a part of the radio broadcast today, BPN Radio, praying for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. God bless you, Larry, and all that you put your hand to do.
Thank you, Brother Dale, and God bless you and Gene. Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.